Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of This Week with B, the podcast where we talk about things that happened presumably and usually this week with B, who is me. Although sometimes it's much wider than just things that happened this week, because really it's just this week's thoughts, isn't it, guys? It's not necessarily this week of happenings, but more so this is what we've been thinking about this week. So I'm joined today by Iris and James. Hello. Hi. Introduce yourselves.
Hola. Sorry, I almost spoke
not
in Spanish.
Not in Spanish.
My name is Iris, or Iris, depending on which one you prefer, I guess.
It's actually Iris, but she lets people call her Iris because otherwise English speakers get confused. Yeah.
Hey.
You want to tell people what you do and who you are?
I'm a Twitch affiliate. I'm also in Distractions Media alongside B and James and other people. So yeah. I primarily stream on Twitch. I also do have a YouTube channel. Yeah, Twitch is my main thing.
Very interesting. You want to tell them where they can find that Twitch?
Twitch.tv/irelicious.
It does not rhyme with delicious.
You smash Iris and delicious together.
James, introduce yourself.
I'm James, and I'm dying.
Yeah, James is a bit sick today, aren't you?
Yep.
Where can people find you, James?
On YouTube at Glorious Coma.
It's amazing. Where did you come up with that name, by the way?
Do what?
How did you come up with that name, by the way?
It was one that was assigned to me, I think, back before Steam was Steam.
Like, you mean like Steam auto-assigned it as a username?
Yeah.
Does Steam do that?
It was before Steam was Steam.
I know that Xbox does it, but I didn't know Steam or whatever Steam was prior did that. I've had some interesting usernames in the past because of Xbox, like automatically giving you gamer tags, which it does, gives you a default one, doesn't it? And allows you to change it once for free. You have to pay for any future changes. But I didn't know anything else did that. I thought it was just Xbox. That's interesting. So, yeah, anyways, they're the people's names. They're Iris and James's channels if you want to go and check them out. Anyways, we have had, especially me, I feel like, but I think we've all had eventful lives recently, haven't we? It's been quite eventful, all of our lives. We've had a lot to do and a lot going on lately.
Yeah, eventful, yes. Definitely an accurate way to describe my own life.
Yeah, personal lives have been stressful, but I think in addition to that, the internet has been a weird place to be lately, hasn't it? It's been quite a strange place to be. Especially for me, I have mostly tried to avoid the internet lately, which is strange because my job is on the internet. When I say I've tried to avoid it, I mean primarily I've tried to avoid social media a bit because there is not very much going on that is pleasant on the internet right now, if that makes sense. It's kind of all a mess, isn't it? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And particularly, I thought we could elaborate a little bit, or at least talk about a little bit regarding the new video that I posted on my vlog channel recently that talks a little bit about all the stuff that was going on the internet. I thought it'd be good to maybe go over that a little bit and talk about what happened and how I'm doing now, because I think some people obviously will be concerned, and I got a lot of people asking me if I'm all right, and also talk about the topics in general regarding that, because there was something I mentioned inside that vlog that I think is really important, which is that I felt that how I was being treated is something that a lot of people who are women specifically will at some point either already have experienced or will experience the things that were said to me. Because the internet is a truly awful place. So today's episode is how to survive the internet, basically. Now, surviving the internet is probably likely more easy for someone like James, who has the attitude that James has, because James, your attitude is probably the one we all should strive to have, really, isn't it?
Probably.
James is much more, I hate everybody, I don't care what you say, and if you say anything to me, I will bite you, isn't it?
Pretty much.
As well as having that, like, I guess that idea of defending your friends. But I would say you're a bit older than me. Do you think it's an age thing? Do you think it's because you're older that you just don't care as much, or have you always been this way?
I think it's because of all of my years in customer service.
You worked a lot in customer service then. retail and things like that. Yeah, I think that'll do it for you. Most people I know a lot of people that I used to work with, especially like that used to be teachers and things like that. So obviously I worked with a lot of older people when I worked in a school. A lot of them say that when you get to like your 30s, especially when you get to your 40s, you just sort of don't care anymore what people think, and you stop being bothered quite so much by what people say. Like, you just don't seem to take it into account as much because you realize that you've already lived like half your life and already spent so much time in that life being concerned about what other people think, that I feel like those people seem to think that once you reach that age, you just stop caring. So I wonder if it's maybe older people than me tend to just care less, and maybe because I'm in my 20s, I care more about things than I probably should. But then I think about it sometimes and I'm like, I think most people would care if between hundreds to thousands of people were calling them horrible things, you know, and like yelling at them and saying mean things to them. I mean, I obviously don't get as much hate as what some people do, but I think in the last year of my life, I've got the most that I've ever had, if that makes sense. Would you agree?
Probably.
I mean, Iris, you've known me a long time. I've had hate-filled periods in my life, but I think this last month probably would be the most I've really had ever, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, yes, you've always had hate for sure, but what happened recently, I think it's extremely... it pushes like a lot of boundaries that I don't understand why. Well, some people are just less inclined to respect boundaries in general, not just on the internet. Mm-hmm. But I feel like people forget that they're talking to a human being sometimes. That person is more than just a content deposit on the internet.
No, I agree for sure. And I think something that resonates with me a lot is something that... It's actually a Taylor Swift quote. She mentioned this in an interview. In an interview once, she said that she feels that once the internet decides they don't love you anymore, that's it. It just sort of snowballs from there and people won't change their mind. And once they've decided they don't like you, there's nothing that you can do to try and get them to like you again. And it's a classic case of when somebody doesn't like you in life anyway, especially even if you haven't done anything wrong, but especially when someone just specifically doesn't like you, you can probably put as much effort as you physically can into getting them to like you, but it's probably not going to work, you know? Because when somebody already doesn't like you, it's unlikely that they want to like you. And so they've already decided that they don't want to. So they're not interested in changing that opinion.
I've certainly been there before. But the difference is that that's mostly a problem in school and at the workplace. Now, elsewhere, if someone doesn't like you, for example, someone doesn't like you, if you are at the subway station, they're just going to walk away. Like, they're not going to be forced to interact with you for longer than a few seconds at most.
In real life, this is a reality. Like, people in real life, if they don't like you, they will just not interact with you. They'll walk away, they'll not bother with you. If you're a stranger, they don't know you and you don't impact their life in any way, they'll just ignore you. There seems to be this thing on the internet where people forget that if you don't like someone's content, you don't like something that somebody posts somewhere, you don't like seeing someone on social media, there are mute functions, there are block functions, there is good old-fashioned just not watching it or interacting with it, which is simple, and you don't have to interact with anything you don't want to online. But for some reason, people seem to have the opinion of, oh, I don't like you. So instead of not interacting with you, I'm going to make sure everybody, including you, knows how much I dislike you, because the world really needs to know my personal opinions of you. And in reality, almost no one else cares. In fact, oftentimes, nobody cares. The only person who's likely going to be upset about it is the person who reads it about themselves. And even then, you know, there's a lot of people out there who've got so much hate over their lives, like celebrities and stuff like that, that they just aren't bothered. Or people like James, who have dealt with people, like he said, in like customer service for so long, they probably just don't even really care what these people have got to say anyway, and it just bounces straight off you and is a completely useless waste of that other person's time. I think they love when you get someone like me who does get upset by it, is bothered by it, and visibly gets upset. I think they love that. Yes. They really feed off of it, because I find it really hard to not respond when people are mean, particularly when it's something as drastic as what people were saying about me recently, which was people were saying some really horrible things, so like a language warning, but they were saying that they wanted me to be like assaulted in like really inappropriate ways, that they like basically hoped I'd die, like some really horrible words were used that I won't repeat because then I'd have to flag the podcast as explicit. And It was just awful. And I just couldn't believe some of the things. I have had hit in my life, right? And Iris has been there through some of the, like, worst patches of, like, hit that I've received. But nothing in comparison to what the people were saying about me in the last, like, month. The words that they used. I read some of them and was like, Jesus Christ. Like, who thinks that passionately about someone you've never met and don't even know? Like, I don't even think about that about people I actually have met and don't like, you know? I was like, it's drastic.
Know, the thing that still amazes me is that the reason for the outrage is so trivial compared to, like, people do horrible things all the time and they get away with it. Nobody calls them out on it. But somehow you do things that some people don't like, but they're really trivial in the grand scheme of things. But somehow, despite being trivial, they are so important and they have to wish utterly horrible things on you just because of that.
Yeah, it's really strange, isn't it? It's like I make a YouTube video and that's like just me and a doll chatting. But because of the way I presented the YouTube video with like marketing tactics to get people to want to watch it, they're like, you should die. Meanwhile, there's people out there who are actually saying horrible things on the internet and they're like, you have a good time. You know, whatever floats your boat. Don't even care. They're not even bothered. And they don't seem to be bothered about the fact that other people are doing the same things I do too, which aren't even actually that negative. People just make it seem so much worse than it actually truly is and use it as if it's something that they can make an excuse for their nastiness for. Like, oh, well, you do this. You're a clickbaiter. So that means I'm allowed to say these horribly inhumane things to you because you're a clickbaiter and that's how it works.
And like, the sad thing is, it's all because these people don't even know how to read.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is misinterpretation as well, yeah. And they don't ask for clarification on things. Like, people just assume the worst in you. And I've noticed that. That's something I've noticed. I actually said this to somebody the other day. I think people just assume the worst in me. They just automatically assume that anything I do is not a mistake or just a misinterpretation, but is intentionally bad. And a lot of the time, it isn't. It's that the way I hear it in my own head or say it out loud just doesn't sound the same to them when they read it in theirs. And that's a very common issue with text, as I'm sure you know. When you're messaging someone and stuff like that, you can come across passive-aggressively when you didn't mean to, or people take text differently. Like, without turn indicators, things can be very easily misunderstood. And I think people really need to stop assuming the worst in everybody all the time, because it must be such a miserable life if you just automatically default to the worst possible option instead of starting in the positive and moving to the negative when you realize that the positive isn't the right one.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it must be so all-consuming to live a life with just so much negativity that you just have to burst and push it onto someone else. I just can't imagine what that's like, because I just couldn't live my life like that. I don't ever think like that. Like, there's YouTubers and Twitch streamers and creators and whatever else that I don't like, so I just don't watch them. It's that easy. Like, I'm not interested in watching, say, I don't know, I'm not interested in watching COD videos, so I don't go and find YouTubers that make COD videos and then comment on the video saying, I don't like this video. I just avoid it. Do you know what I mean? Like, you just don't go there. I feel like it's like, oh, you see the TV guide for, like, what's going to be on TV this week. Oh, there's a sitcom I don't like. I'm going to watch it and then write a review online that is really terrible. Why? If you don't like it, don't watch it. Why would you put yourself through watching something you don't like? It just, you know what I mean? And it just doesn't make sense.
Also, don't stalk the content or the creator of the content, like, obsessively all the time. Just waiting for the opportunity to say something that you have already said like 100 times before.
That is something that happens a lot. They like sit and they'll wait for me to slip up, wait for me to say something that's like just even slightly capable of them calling me out for it, and they're immediately like, ah, B said something bad, get her, you know? They're like straight on the internet, straight on Twitter with their Twitter blue check to complain about me. Oh, it's so embarrassing.
If people don't want to watch your content, they literally just need to avoid interacting with it, and YouTube will figure it out on its own.
And if they're really that worried about it, they can press the little three dots thing and press don't share this channel or hide this channel or whatever, and they stop recommending videos from it. It's not that hard. It's, you can even block people on YouTube just like you can on everything else. It's really that simple.
To me, YouTube recommends me a lot of stuff all the time, and I watch like 2% of it, maybe. 2%.
Yeah, me too. I get recommendations for videos all the time, and I'm like, why the heck would I want to watch that? Like, I look at it and I'm like, there's no way YouTube's algorithm knows me very well because I don't want to watch that. So then I will just either press the button on it and press, like, don't show me this content. If it's something that I don't want to see, like maybe the thumbnail is something that I don't want to see or something like that. But otherwise, I just totally ignore it because it's going to go off your homepage almost instantly once YouTube realizes you don't want to watch it. In fact, YouTube changes your homepage so frequently that there's many times when I'm just scrolling through, I click on my homepage, I glance and see something I actually think I'd like to watch, but it's too late, I've already clicked on another page. Then I press back to go back to the previous one and it's gone.
That's happened to me.
Yeah, because the homepage refreshes that fast. Like, YouTube's algorithm is so quick at recommending you new stuff when they realize that the first set didn't interest you, that it's so easy to get rid of it. You just don't even need to acknowledge or think about it. And I just don't get why people just get so furiously angry about things that just don't matter, you know?
I think it's because I just cannot accept that there's people out there, there's a lot of people out there who like your content. No, they don't like, these people don't like your content, but other people do. And for some reason, they take great offense to that.
I think that there's a big sort of idea as well, especially with women, but it happens to men too, but especially with women creators, where people always feel like they need to justify their success. People always need to justify women's success. You know, it's always for a reason. Mm. And in fact, Taylor Swift actually made a song about this. It's called The Man, and it's very interesting because what she says in it is very true. People always feel the need to justify, you should listen to it, it's good. People always need to justify why women are successful. You know, they'll say that you got your ideas from a man, or you have a male friend who's already successful, so you grew off of him, or you're a clickbaiter and that's the only way you could have grown. There's no way people just actually like your content, it's just because you're a clickbaiter. You know, they're always trying to find reasons. Like they say, oh, it's because you're pretty, or because you show your chest. You know, things like that. There's always got to be a reason why women are successful.
That all female Twitch streamers know that one, like, from memory.
It's not that you're smart, or you're business savvy, or you know how to grow an audience, or you're just interesting, or perhaps that you're just actually a good content creator. There's always a reason that you are not the reason, basically. There's always a way that they find to make you not the reason for your own success. And it's actually quite embarrassing, really, that they think that way. But this happens to women on the daily. Like, every single day, women are having their achievements diminished, their abilities diminished, their skills diminished, and basically being told that the only reason they're successful is because of this reason, this reason, this reason. There's always something. So people are always going to be mad, like you say. They're always going to be mad about anybody who's successful. But especially if a woman is more successful than them, they'll be furious about it. Because that's what people are like.
It makes the fragile masculinity feel threatened, I suppose.
Do you know, the thing is as well, though, it isn't just men either, because... So this is an example. I've got a direct example here of a slightly different topic, but Rebel Wilson recently announced that she had a baby. I'm sure you might have noticed. She had a surrogate, and she carried her child, and then she had a baby. And she announced the baby about the baby being born about 5 or 6 days ago. Nobody knew she was having a baby, and she just announced it afterwards. And then today she posted on Instagram that she was at Paris Hilton's opening party for like Paris World or something like that. And her comments are just filled with mom shaming. Like, your newborn's only like a week old and you already left the house, or you're not home bonding with your newborn, and because you had a surrogate, they really need that bonding because you weren't a bonded since you didn't barefoot yourself. I can't believe you left your baby at home after only a week and you ditched your child, terrible mother, calling her gross and just all these horrible things. And I was like, wow, it's nice to see that mom shaming is still all well and happy and healthy and still here. Because other moms shaming other moms. Like, rather than building each other up, the women were literally just degrading and dragging her down. Like, a mother doesn't have to be a machine that just mothers, right? A lot of mothers go back to work, whether that's because they have to, or in countries like, say, America, where there's not a federal requirement for maternity leave, perhaps they physically can't afford not to go back to work. Or maybe they just want to go back to work. Or maybe they just want to go out with their friends for one night so that they're not constantly in baby machine mode and they just need a little bit of a break. Like, I think most psychologists would tell you that it's actually quite good for women after they have a baby to make sure they take some time to themselves as well. Her mother could be babysitting. Her partner could be babysitting. Literally anybody could be babysitting. It's no one's business, but they still take the need to like yell at people and tell them how it should be and how they feel that life should be and that you're a terrible mother and I hate you and blah, blah, blah. And I just read some of it and I was like, these people just have nothing better to do with their lives, do they? They have nothing going on in their lives. So all that they can do is yell at other people about how bad of a person they are, even if it's not true, because it's totally subjective, you know?
Yeah.
And I just noticed that we say that like men are really bad, which they are, for degrading women. But women are also really bad for degrading women. Like, there's a lot of women, especially conservative women, that just love to degrade other women rather than building each other up. And it's so weird.
Internalized misogyny is a real thing.
Yeah, and it's really bad. And there's a lot of like this anti-feminism movement lately as well. Like a lot of women that are anti-feminism. And I'm like, you know, feminism can mean many, many, many different things, right? It's almost like they're just anti-female, you know? It's so strange. And I just read some of it sometimes. I'm like, wow, it's not just me. I'm not the only person who's getting all this nastiness. This is just what people are like. Because as soon as they get behind a keyboard and they're anonymous, they feel like they can say whatever they like and nobody can hurt them or do anything about it. And they can't obviously have any consequences. So they just say whatever they like because there's no consequences for it. And it is just absolute madness. I don't know if you've ever read anything like this or seen anybody else go through something similar, but it is like just so weird. People just get so angry about all sorts. Do you get much hate? You've had hate in like you've worked in predominantly male dominated places, haven't you? So
me?
Yeah.
Oh yes. I have received death threats among other things.
So do you want to tell people why, like what you did?
Well, the problem is that people generally do not like, they do not take kindly to being told when they're doing something wrong, like something bad, something that's perceived as bad for other people in a community. People do not like to be banned, among other things.
So what role were you in at this time? What was your role at this time?
I have basically been a community manager for a game for a very long time. Well, was, because I'm not in that position anymore.
Yeah,
but people really didn't like me, like, trying to keep things under control, because people tend to do things like take opinions too far, which is obviously this is something that prompted this whole podcast.
Yeah,
taking opinions too far, being nasty, like unnecessarily nasty to groups of people or individuals, and just generally having a bad conduct in a community. But people, I don't know if this is a male thing, but people generally seem to feel entitled to a community even though it's not their own. Like, they didn't build it, they just participated in it, but they feel entitled to the way they think that the community should be run.
We've definitely had women in my community that are like this, girls and females in my community that are like this. I'm sure you can remember. So I definitely don't think that's just a man thing. I think a lot of men can be like that, but there are women that are like it too.
Yeah. But the point is that when you try to correct people and they just don't listen and you eventually have to ban them, they just hate you forever, and many of them take it really far. Like I said, I have even received death threats over this.
Well, clearly you banned the right person if they give you a death threat right after.
Yeah, obviously, because if you are going to behave like that, obviously you have no place being around in the first place.
But because like, they feel entitled to it, they don't care about that, because they feel like no matter what they do, they're entitled to stay.
There's no place for that kind of attitude in a healthy community.
No.
We're human beings.
A common one, which is a really interesting topic here, because you'll know, A common one is people who pay for stuff, paid subscriptions or anything like that. Like if they're a Twitch sub, for example, they feel like they're almost entitled to not have to follow the rules anymore because they've paid you money. And it's like, we've had, haven't you? I'm sure you remember when you moderated in my community, we've had people who are like, you can't ban me. I'm a sub, so you can't ban me. Yeah, I can. If you're breaking the rules, they still apply to you, whether you're paying or not.
I definitely remember those incidents still, even though it has been like 5 years.
James banned a subscriber today on my stream today. that person right? who was kicking off in the chat and breaking the rules, it was a sub. Why? Right. I don't know why subscribers think, oh, I'm paying you $5 a month to be a sub, so that means I don't have to follow any rules. I can do whatever I like, you know? No, you can.
I don't know.
The rules still apply to you too. It doesn't matter.
It's really strange. Yeah. People seem to have a confusion. On my stream the other day, I was talking about like the subject impact. I feel like a good analogy here is a hotel room. If you spend money to rent a room, you just want to rent a room at a hotel. You're just renting a room. You don't own the hotel. So you cannot tell hotel staff that you want to rearrange the whole place, right?
Uh-huh.
Unless you buy the whole hotel, but that's a different thing. You're still a guest at the hotel, even though you're purchasing a service at the hotel, but it's not your hotel.
Yeah, and you can't sit there yelling down the corridor telling other people what to do either, because you're not in charge just because you're staying there. And it's very strange. It is very strange, and it is very common. I mean, I've come to my Discord before and seen that, like, the mods, whether it's James or a different mod, have banned, like, people. And I'll look at the logs, and it's, like, 5 minutes before they got banned for being an idiot. They server-boosted the server. Like, why did you use your money to boost my server to then yell loads of, like, mean stuff and get yourself banned? Why? Why? It doesn't make any sense. Did you think that because you've just done something nice prior to that people will be like, yeah, well, you've done your good deed for the day, so now you can say some really horrible stuff, you know?
I guess it's a way to guilt trip the people who are running a community, like, tell them, okay, if you remove me, then you're not getting this money anymore.
And you know what, as well, back when I was a much smaller creator a long time ago, you'll remember this, it did guilt trip me, it did work, it did make me feel bad. There were so many people who did not deserve second chances or third chances or whatever, I gave them to because I felt bad, because I was like, oh, but they spent all this money or they've subbed to me or whatever, so I feel bad taking them out of the community. Yet they were terrible people, they did not deserve to be there. I'm not like that now, but at that time, they did successfully guilt-trip me. And I often think about other, like, smaller creators and things like that. How many of them are being guilt-tripped like this all the time by people who just, like...
Oh, no.
You know, they know that they have control over them. Because a lot of the smaller creators are probably people who, you know, probably have a real-life job that they're working in, or maybe just don't earn a lot, so the extra money they get from their stream means a lot to them. And these people know they have a hold over them for that reason, and that they're too scared to lose that income.
I have certainly seen this in smaller communities, not related to me. Like,
well, when my community was smaller, that's something I was afraid of. I was afraid because these people would, like, be a part of my income, the extra income I was getting, and that small amount that I was getting from streaming meant a lot to me because my job didn't pay a lot. So it was important to me. So then when these people, like, did that, it made it hard to, I guess, not punish, but, like, you know, take action against the things they were doing, because I was nervous because I knew that obviously they don't sub or whatever else. And it's hard when money comes into the equation when you know you need it. So they know that. That's why they do it. That's why they think they can get away with it, because they know you need the money, so you're not likely to ban them.
It's really evil.
Yes, it is. It's very manipulative.
Because manipulating people in general is not good.
Well, no, of course not. I don't know how often it happens in my Discord, because James handles basically all of that, but I'm guessing that there's a lot of Twitch subs and server boosters and things that end up getting banned. I don't know exactly how many, because obviously I don't handle any of it myself, but I am always shocked by it, because I'm like, why did you sub if you just all servers?
I don't ever pay attention if they're sub or booster or anything. I'm just like, you're out.
James is really good for this. James is really good for this. If someone breaks a rule, he's just like, see ya. So I just sort of lean into it. I just trust that whatever that he knows what he's doing. Because there's been a couple of situations when James was first a moderator for me where he like banned someone and I was like, I don't know if I'd have banned that person. And then like I like maybe have unbanned them and then they came back and did something much worse. And I'm like, yeah, I'll just trust James's judgment. I just let him make the choice because clearly, because sometimes as well when you're the streamer or the content creator, especially when there's a lot of people there, which is. I obviously live a different life now to what I did a few years ago. I don't get to moderate a lot of it myself anymore because there's just too many people to moderate. There's too many messages being sent. So sometimes you don't know the whole context as well. You know, if a moderator bans somebody, there might be a reason why they banned them that's elsewhere that you didn't see, or a message that you missed, or maybe it happened on the Discord or something like that. And so they banned them on the Twitch as well because they knew it was the same person. So sometimes I think just having trust in your mods is really good and helps a lot. And my brain is so much less cloudy now that I have other people that moderate stuff for me, because not seeing that nastiness makes a huge difference to me, because it was really getting me down. I'm sure you remember. Yes. I got really depressed when I was reading all the people's comments and stuff. So I'm glad that they're moderated now.
I will say, I used to be really guilty in the past of being reluctant to ban people who have some kind of stake in a community. Like they're notorious in some way or have been around for a very long time. But at some point, I just got tired of people being rude and, you know, I just decided, okay. Doesn't matter how long you have been around for, it doesn't matter what you have done for the community. If you're going to be a bad person, then out you go.
It'd be like if MLP Winks and Fairy Pony or whatever started being horrible, but they were too scared to ban her because she was the highest level player.
Oh dear.
It's a similar thing. Oh my God. She's very nice, but like the point is, is that that does happen in communities, and I think people don't realize sometimes that it can make you afraid to like ban them because people think they're invincible because they're like, well, I'm subscriber or I'm important in the community or I have the most channel points or something. So therefore you can't ban me.
Things.
Yeah, exactly. Or I made you fan art or I made you profile picture, you know? It is very odd. It's very difficult because people can be just so nasty and it can really get to you sometimes. And I hate when people say it's part of the job. If you can't handle it, quit. I got a lot of that over the last month. And people that were like, well, clearly you can't handle it, so you shouldn't be on YouTube. YouTube clearly not for you. In what world should anybody ever accept that hatred that is beyond belief, the things people say to them, is just part of a job? How is that acceptable? We surely need to work to be changing that opinion. We should not have to just accept that if you want to be a YouTuber, that you're going to be hated on to the point where you hate yourself. That is not acceptable. But why do people have this opinion? Like, some people actually genuinely believe that if you can't handle being slandered and ripped apart, then you shouldn't be able to be a YouTuber. You shouldn't be one because it's just part of the job. That is so strange to me to just accept that. That's like saying, oh, you should, you know, except that when you're a teacher, kids are going to throw things at you. No, that's not acceptable. Just because it happens sometimes doesn't mean it's okay. We should be doing things to avoid that happening and make it so that it's clear that that's not all right, you know?
The problem is that some of the things stem from issues that were normalized even before the internet became a big thing. Like, you know how celebrities have always been stalked? People are always talking crap about them in public media. This stuff started before the internet, and the internet just made it worse.
Yeah, this is the thing, is like people think they have entitlement to speak about other people.
Lives.
Yeah, exactly. They're entitled to see their lives. They're entitled to have opinions on their lives and on their choices, even if they actually really aren't. Like, they think they can have an opinion on how you live, how you create things, how you work, how you go about your life.
What you eat.
Exactly. But in reality, your weight, that's a big one. People think they have a right to have an opinion on. The reality is, they have no right to dictate how you live your life and what you do with it, and no right to stalk you so badly that they know everything about you. We all have a right to privacy. And I think if it was flipped the other way around, it would be seen as unfair. If a celebrity was like going on Twitter and tweeting, oh, I followed this paparazzi to this pool and took pictures of them with their family, everyone would be like, that's so weird, why did you do that? But when you do it to a celebrity, go and take pictures of them and like, I don't know, like at a beach with their family, everyone's like, that's normal, it's just part of the job. It should not just be part of the job. It's weird. That is weird. That is strange, you creepy weirdos. Like, why is this acceptable? I personally just don't understand it. So my point anyway, very lengthy way of making the point, is that once the internet decides that they don't like you and that they hate you, that's it. That's it. They're going to hate you forever. Those specific people are going to hate you forever. There'll be new ones they'll add to their clan along the way who will be mean to you as well. And they'll crop up every now and again and yell their, like, nasty stuff at you and stuff. But now that my stuff's heavily moderated by, like, you guys and other people, especially on my YouTube videos and stuff, I love knowing that they're just screaming into the void and I'm never going to see it. Because, like, obviously my friends see it, but they never tell me it. So it literally just... you're just screaming in the void. If you comment on my videos mean things, I won't know because other people moderate it, so I will never see it. And I personally love that. And on Twitter, I've muted so many words on Twitter that they can tweet me whatever they like and I won't see it. And I love that. Knowing that they're tweeting and they don't get to see me block them because I won't. They don't get to see like any response from me whatsoever. They just think I've totally ignored them. But in reality, I've never even seen it. It's never even bothered me. Never even crossed my mind because I didn't even see it in the first place. And honestly, knowing that they're just yelling into the void brings me great pleasure because I just think they must have such sad lives. They must be so bored to sit and yell about people all day and insult people all day. It must be really boring. Not to mention to make like new accounts as well to do it and like have to go through the whole like putting your email in and setting a verification code and all that stuff that you're involved with making new accounts all for the sake of being mean to someone. It's sad, but also I guess in a way quite flattering. I'm quite flattered that you put so much effort into being able to be mean to me. I must mean a lot to them and they must think about me a lot. Because
they like giving you attention.
Well, they wouldn't certainly not be doing all of that if they didn't. So there you go.
Also, remember when you post a mean comment on YouTube or you click this like, the sole fact that you are clicking on the video to watch it for even 1 second, YouTube is like, wow, people really like this video. Or well, you click on this like, YouTube is gonna be like, wow, people really have an opinion on this video. YouTube likes that. YouTube takes that as confirmation that the video is something it should recommend to people.
Yeah, YouTube likes dislikes just as much as it likes likes.
So your whole plan of taking a content creator down by posting negativity on the comment sections completely backfires.
Yeah, because YouTube loves when people like click on the... what do we call them? They've got a name for them. We don't call it likes and dislikes. They're called something specific. Rating, when people rate the videos. They love it when people rate the videos. On our dashboards and stuff, you can see how many people like it and stuff, but the reason why they took the dislike number away is not so much to stop it from promoting negative opinions, but because YouTube likes it. YouTube like when you rate the videos, whether that's positive or negative, because you've taken the time and felt so engaged by that video to physically click to share your opinion, and YouTube loves that. So they're like, oh, I'll share it with more people who might not like it, and also more people who might like it, because then we'll get more opinions and more people engaging and more people staying on the platform, and they love that. So really, by coming on my videos or anyone else's videos and yelling at us, you're just paying our bills, really. Which, to be honest, is great.
Well done.
Yeah, congratulations.
Oh, the joke's on you, basically.
Yeah, I love that idea. I literally just pay for my car with your nastiness, which I think is hilarious to be honest. You're literally feeding me so that I can get up every day and continue making videos you hate, which is just really something glorious, isn't it? It's quite spectacular, really, when you think about it.
This is why I crack up every time I delete a comment and say, you're deleting negative comments. Yes. But you're also making the video more notorious.
How often do you get those
engagements?
How often do you get comments that are like you're deleting those? Are you talking about yours or mine?
Yeah, yours.
How often does that
happen? Every now and then someone notices that their comments are being deleted.
Just hide them from the channel at that point. Yeah, well, see if you like screw to the void forever. Oh god. It's quite sad. James is a back clapper, aren't you? You like to clap back at people, don't you?
Yeah, I like teaching them new words.
Words we won't use on here. I think working in retail, I'm assuming you said did that to you. Did you do that clap back like thing in person as well, or just online?
Oh, whenever I was a manager, I did.
Did you enjoy telling people off?
Yep.
I get the feeling that James has a sort of like authoritarian like figure that he enjoys, where he likes being in control and telling people off. I like telling people off too. I used to enjoy being a teacher just because I liked being in charge. I really like to be in charge. I find being in charge very fun. And so that's why I always enjoyed being a teacher, because I was in charge of the classroom and in charge of my own job, my own role and stuff. And again, that's why I like my job now, because I like being in charge. I think that being in charge is one of the things I enjoy the most, especially when it bothers other people, if that makes sense. I particularly really like that. So, with that said, James, what's your advice to people out there who might be experiencing negativity? Hello?
Oh, James?
I'm thinking.
Oh.
Nothing.
Maybe find them in real life and punch them in the mouth.
That's obviously a joke.
Oh.
Don't actually do that.
Yeah, no. Don't take advice from James, actually.
I'll take all that back. Don't listen to anything James ever suggests. That's a terrible idea.
No, I'd say the thing to do is realize that you're important enough in their life for them to think about even hating on you.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that. I think that one's very, very true. Iris, what advice would you give to people?
The main thing, I feel like some criticism can be deserved, you know, when you're actually hurting people, like legitimately hurting people, you need to stop and listen to people who are telling you what you're doing and, you know, try to understand why it may be that it doesn't matter to you, but for other people, it may be harmful what you're doing to them. But obviously, not all criticism is valid. And I think you have to learn to tell real criticism apart from people who are just hating on you for no reason.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a very reasonable standpoint for something like this.
If you're not hurting anybody at all, then you shouldn't care what other people think. In general.
I agree. Especially people who you wouldn't go to advice for. I wouldn't ever take criticism from somebody you wouldn't go to advice for, because those people don't really know you. They don't know who you are. They don't know your life. They don't know your story. They don't know your experiences. So they are really just taking what they assume of you and using it to be nasty, even though they don't actually really know who you are. And I think that something someone said to me recently was, you have to remember that the person you are online, like your content creator version or your online person or whatever, is one version of you, but the version you are in real life is a different version of you. And you should never ever be taking advice from people who are giving you criticisms or nasty words or whatever about the version of you that isn't the real you, the online version of you, where we're all putting on a show a little bit. You know, we're all showing a version of ourselves that we think other people want to see when it comes to the internet. And that version of ourselves is not always who we actually are. So you should not take the opinions of people who don't know who you actually are on board in the same way that you should take on board genuine concerns from friends or family or people who actually know you. I wouldn't suggest making a habit of listening to people who don't even really know who you actually are, because those people do not have your best interests at heart. They have their own interests at heart, and their interests likely are not going to be of interest to you and of benefit to you. So it's certainly something to bear in mind when it comes to all of these sort of topics where you're really struggling or you've got a lot of negativity. It's probably important to remember that these people don't really care who you are, and they probably are going to try to be awful to you regardless. So, with that said, hopefully, maybe someone will find something helpful from this. Basically, it's a lot of whinging, really, about the internet. It's really not a nice place.
And one thing about criticism, some advice I'd give people that want to give criticism, start out your message something like, hey, I really enjoyed how you do this and this. May I suggest maybe doing so-and-so?
Exactly. A lot of people say that when you give criticism, you should give 2 positives to every 1 negative. Some people say 3 positives to every 1 negative, because not everything about something is bad, but if you just focus on the bad, it can make the person feel really bad about what they've done. So like Jane said, if you say to them like, I really enjoyed how you did it like this, Could I suggest, not you need to, or how dare you, I hate you. You need to say it. Maybe you could consider, or have you ever thought about trying this? Or, you know, or maybe you didn't realize, but this comes across a little bit like this. You know, telling people honestly, but kindly, it makes a big difference than just yelling at them. And like I said, giving people a couple of positives about the things that you enjoy or you like before you insult them or give critique is usually a good idea, so they don't think that you're just attacking them. Because a lot of the time you might be thinking you're giving genuine criticism and the response might be really negative or like closed off from the person might brush you off. But that might be because they assume you're being negative and haven't quite realized that you're being negative, if that makes sense. So anyways, with all that said, thank you very much for listening. I hope that you will find some positivity from this and perhaps this will be useful to you. If it is, let us know. As always, you can find us at all the places we explained at the start and obviously myself at BPlaysRBLX on Twitter. And we will see you all next time. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thank you, Iris and James, for joining.
You're welcome.
No problem.
All right. We'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.